Threads of smoke rose from minuscule chimneys. Trawlers put into wharfs to offload catches, and little wagons and vehicles wound along cobbled roads or up winding trails into the woods. And when he shifted his gaze further along the shore and saw a flatter region, a coastal plain bounded by ridges and steep hills inland and mountainous uplands to the north, and dominated by a towering promontory, he suddenly realised that he was floating past the entirety of the Darien colony in miniature. There were the streets and built-up areas of Hammergard. There beyond it, Lake Morwen. There further north was Port Gagarin with its landing strips, and there was the island of New Kelso, while further west stretched rich farmlands, hamlets, villages and towns. But smoke rose in many places, and he saw great mobs laying siege to barricaded strongholds or engaging in running battles through the streets of unfortunate towns. A few zeppelins passed through the air above Hammergard and off to the south, while fighting seemed to be taking place up on Giant's shoulder. There were flashes of energy weapons, the yellow bursts of explosions, and out-of-control fires. Robert watched the stricken land pass by and wondered how true a representation this was. "This must be how the Godhead sees the activities of us lesser beings, scurrying around, pursuing ant-like purposes. Or could this just be one way of looking at us, a kind of conceptual model, perhaps even a discarded one?" Past the northern shore, with the miniature city of Trond and its stone towers sliding out of view behind the upland slopes, cliffs began to rise again on both left and right. In front of him, they joined overhead, forming the entrance to a gigantic, gloomy cavern into which the river swept. As the light from the entrance faded, the murk deepened until he was engulfed in pitch blackness, with only the sides of the boat to cling on to and the rocking motion to remind him that the river still carried him along. A foggy glow appeared before him, gradually brightening to a wide stretch of blue-grey openness, dotted here and there with strange floating crags and boulders, some with trees growing on them. Some were like bizarre plateaus wrenched from absent landscapes, their rocky roots tapering beneath, while odd creatures grazed amongst angular ruins. Further on, a larger structure came into view, something that looked designed or at least assembled. A complex of low buildings in radial sectors rising in a conical arrangement. Robert quickly recognised the Garden of the Machines, the headquarters of the construct. And it was at the centre of a huge battle. In thousand-strong formations, combat vessels swept towards each other, energy weapons stabbing out like a forest of bright spears moments before the flying arrays met each other, cut into each other. Warships hurtled past each other, some as close as a dozen metres, others too close, their collision sending both careening off to spread the destruction wider. Projector beams burned into hulls. Force field shields strobed, flared and overloaded. Missiles were subverted by countermeasure virals and turned on their ships of origin. And, as before, Robert watched it all from a godlike point of view. The Garden of the Machines was a fabulously detailed miniature, while the starship formations were like tightly coordinated shoals of mechanical fish. The defenders were the aggression, the construct's AI machines, and they were facing a combined force of Vor and Shintanil craft –